Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. We started this podcast a couple of years ago as a sister to V Magazine, as we wanted to tell stories more in depth, bring the pages of the magazine to life, and it's been super successful. So today, drumroll please, I have somebody that you're going to know. Everybody knows him. He's a TV personality, author, multiple winner of James Beard Awards. He is a restaurateur, a philanthropist, husband, father, and a great guy. Emeril Lagasse, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
I'm so delighted to have you here. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you have a lot going on right now.
And a little bit.
Just a little bit, right? A little bit.
That's kind of been my life, you know. It's actually a little bit slower these days than in the past. Pre-pandemic, it was getting a little hectic. During the pandemic, unfortunately, we closed 8 restaurants. But I'm sad for the people that worked with us. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of delighted that it was like a breath of fresh air in a sense, too. And now, what I am doing is in a much more controllable place. Myself and my staff, and you know, key people. I guess, you know, to really answer your question, Lisa, is that it's kind of like a football team, right? Mm-hmm. We want to win the Super Bowl, and I'm just a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But quarterbacks alone just don't win the Super Bowl. You have to have a great team. So I feel like I have a really great team. I have people that are very dedicated, mm-hmm. whether it's the foundation people or whether it's the restaurant people or partnerships that I have as well. I don't really do anything that I don't want to do. I don't do anything just for money.
Right.
And I don't do anything just for, you know, for glamour. Mm-hmm. It has to have a lot of heart and soul for me to want to do that,
right,
whatever it is.
Right. So you landed at a coveted position at the beginning of your career at Commander's Palace. 1982. And how long were you there for?
I was there for just almost 8 years.
Okay.
In the last 5 years of my stint there, I also was the chef and the general manager of the restaurant. So I ran the restaurant for the Brennan family.
Okay.
That was probably more of a learning experience for me. Even though that I contributed from the chef's perspective, and feel like I really raised the bar of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really believe that. And mm-hmm. I was very young, of course, and I was like 26.
Wow.
And I really just sort of put all the guns out, you mm-hmm. know. I made it a from scratch operation, mm-hmm. which is not easy when you have a sized restaurant,
right,
like the size of Commander's,
which was like 300 seat or something.
Yeah, they're up there, you know, with the patio and everything else. Yeah. It's up there. We, you know, we would do a lot of business, particularly Saturday and Sunday brunch. Sunday brunch was insane.
Yeah.
But then as people got to really know that I was the chef there, and relationships began to start happening, we were pretty much busy, you know, every night, you know, every day.
Right.
And there was something magical about Ella and I. I mean, beside her kind of being like my second mom, mm-hmm. There was really something magical that we had together that really made that restaurant, you know, what it was, mm-hmm. and probably what it is today.
Right.
A lot has changed. Obviously, she's passed on, and Dick, her brother, who was very, very influential in the restaurant as well, and I was very close to him mm-hmm. as well. They're truly, you know, hospitality people that taught me a lot about hospitality. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot, or maybe a little, about cooking mm-hmm. And about running the kitchen, but hospitality was really something that was really fed to me from them every day about taking care mm-hmm. of the guest.
When you were there, did you ever foresee that your life would take on the trajectory that it did? What were, like, back then, what were you thinking? Like, oh, the sky's the limit and I'd like to do what?
No. Back then, basically, as our relationship really not only got closer, but as time went on and it was becoming 7+ years or whatever, I knew that it was probably time for me to – two things. Either to stay at Commander's Palace and become maybe change my last name to Brennan, or to do my own shingle, which is something that I wanted to do.
Right.
So Ella and I were going to do that together. But I was living and pioneering the warehouse district, which at the time had no street lights. It was very, very dangerous and a lot of homeless people even back then. She wanted to be in the French Quarter because of demographics, et cetera, et cetera. Her success level being in the French Quarter, going all the way back to Brennan's. So her and I decided, well, you know what? It's not going to happen together, but I'm in full support of what you want to do. The only unfortunate thing is, which she probably never realized, is that every bank that I went to, they wouldn't give me the money to do my own restaurant because they didn't want to cross Ella Brennan. So
she had some clout.
It became, so it became very difficult. Finally, the most conservative financial institution in New Orleans at the time, the Whitney Bank, now Whitney Hancock, I did a business proposal for these guys, and they were like, okay, wow, all right, we'll give you the money. It wasn't crazy money back then, probably was, not like it is now. Like you build a restaurant today, it's insane. And across the street from where I lived was this spot that I had my eye on, which is Emeralds, the flagship, which is 33 years later, still still there.
Amazing.
And not only still there, but what makes me very proud is it's still evolving. And I think that's where restaurateurs, chefs, I consider myself a restaurateur as much as a chef. I think that's where stagnation comes in, when you just keep doing the same old thing and you're not really exciting the staff, or not exciting, more importantly, the customer. Then mediocrity begins to set in, and that's when things might
knell.
That's when it could be deadly.
Right.
Fortunately for me now, just a few months ago, EJ, my son, has become the chef patron of the restaurant. So as young as he is, he's really taken over the restaurant and is doing amazing things, amazing things. And the thing is, Lisa, is that, as you know, he and I have two different styles. You know, I'm a little old school and a little old classic and, you know, and new American cuisine. He reads my books from cover to cover to make sure he's doing things correct from that perspective. But he has unbelievable training. So he, you know, he worked for me starting as a young boy. I'll never forget, we were having dinner at Daniel Boulou's restaurant, Cafe Boulou, and he was about 13. And he told his mom and I, he said, look, this at 13. I figured out what I'm going to do. And Alden and I looked at each other and we said, okay. And he said, I'm going to be a chef. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You sure about that? I mean, I don't think you know what you're getting into. And he's like, I am going to be a chef. So, you know, we kept working together and did a lot of magical things together. He was involved with me of opening the new restaurants, et cetera. You know, he saw it from the ground up. And then we said, you know, we had to make a deal. So it was like, look, you're going to have to get out of the nest and you're going to have to, you know, let the wings fly a little bit here. So I think you should look at, you know, on somebody else that you can call a mentor. And so long story short, he worked two summers at Le Bernardin in New York, three Michelin star, considered probably definitely one of the top five restaurants in America, if not the best restaurant in America. Eric Repair, the chef owners, an incredible human being and took EJ under his wings. EJ at the time was 16, and he was born in New York, but he went and lived back in New York alone.
Wow.
Working at Le Bernardin's. So he worked two summers for Eric.
Wow.
He worked a few weeks for Danielle at Danielle and Cafe Boulou. And then he came back, helped me get Coastal squared away and open and reopen, et cetera. And then he went to culinary school. He decided, he graduated early from high school. He also graduated early from college. So he went to Johnson & Wales, which is where I went. Mm-hmm. And he was really, really well accepted. Still has a relationship with the dean and some people there. That's the way EJ, sort of operates,
as you know.
Yeah. And then when he graduated, he said, Dad, I'm gonna move to Europe. And I said, okay, where? And he said, I'm gonna go to London. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna move to London. He moved there. We have some family there, so it wasn't like he was totally alone. And he went and worked several months at CORE for Claire Smith, which is another three Michelin star restaurant. While he was doing that, he spent a couple of weeks in Lisbon with Henrique and worked in a couple of his restaurants. Came back, worked for Claire again and some other places in London, Clos-Bossier, a few other places, really nice spots. Mm-hmm. But Claire was, like Eric, a true mentor. Mm-hmm. And her chef, his name is Danny Bones. What a name, right?
Yeah.
He was a big influence on mm-hmm. EJ as well. Mm-hmm. And really took EJ sort of under his wing to where he then recommended EJ to go work at Franzen. Mm-hmm. So EJ moved to Sweden and worked at Franzen, which is considered for sure probably one of the top three restaurants in the world, particularly since, the retirement of Il Bulli. Franzen is an amazing restaurant. They just opened a branch in London at Harrods. So EJ was just really...
Wow.
Yeah. And then... after he did that, it was like, okay, I think you got great training and certainly not under Dad's wing, but now it's time to come back home and it's time to go to work. Mm-hmm. So he went to Emeralds, never a title in mind. And I never pushed a title in mind at all. It just so happened it evolved as a few weeks went by and he just sort of went in and then he fit in and then he did more than fit in and he just sort of took control. And now he's the chef patron. He's running the restaurant and he's doing an amazing job. We've changed a lot of the format at Emeralds. Now the main dining room is strictly tasting menu, both seasonal and traditional. Then there's the bar, which is now there's no more private rooms. So the bar and the private rooms now has turned into the salon. Mm-hmm. So that menu is where you can order a la carte and a lot of those great dishes and a lot of dishes that he and his team have created.
Yeah.
I still have David Slade as my culinary director, but, David has not only influenced EJ, but he's backed up and just let EJ do his thing and he's doing it.
Well, let me ask you this. So he's culinary royalty because he's your son. And then he has chefed in the greatest of the greats. What did some of those chefs say when they actually were in the kitchen with him and saw him doing his thing?
Well, he still has an incredible relationship with Eric Rappaire. Mm-hmm. They speak probably once a week.
Were they blown away?
Yeah. Okay. I mean... Eric just, we're good friends. So we had a conversation last week and he was just like, I told you I've been wanting to come to New Orleans and I'm telling you that I'm coming to New Orleans and I'm definitely coming to New Orleans now that I see what EJ's doing. It's really, really amazing. I have a customer of mine, not to flash any names, but who was with a celebrity, pretty well-known celebrity, and they dined last night at Emeralds. And this morning I got this incredible email from him. He's been a customer of mine for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And today I get an email from him this morning that he and Lawrence had this amazing dinner and they were blown away and the tasting menu and EJ and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like...
Well, you got to be proud.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, my gosh, you got to be proud.
But I also know that he hasn't quite come completely out of the box yet.
Yeah, he's going to come.
He's waiting for this renovation that we're getting ready to do. We're going to close for a month in July. We're renovating the restaurant, primarily the kitchen. Mm-hmm. He's been involved with all of that from the start, both in the front of the house and the back of the house. So it's going to be pretty spectacular when we reopen. And that's when I think EJ is going to really
flex.
Yeah, that's when I think he's going to come out of the box.
Wow. Well, I mean, he's so young and he's so accomplished and he's so well spoken. I mean, I think the world of him, but doesn't everybody think the world of EJ?
I'm very just proud. About,
yeah.
Yeah.
You guys did a good job with both
you.
He and Merrill, your beautiful kids. Yeah, pretty amazing. So you taught him, I think I read something somewhere, like when he was six or something, he was making French toast or whatever, and that was amazing. So, I mean, he's been cooking since he was younger than 13,
very
right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, he grew up in the business. So, you know, he's been in the kitchen since he was 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and in the beginning, you know, he would have the towel over his shoulder and he would go into the dining room. And I thought for a while, I thought he was going to be in the front of the house. I didn't think he was going to be in the kitchen. I thought he was going to be in the front of the house because he really would engage with the guests and really just,
yeah,
you know,
he's got personality.
But then all of a sudden when he made this decision that it was definitely going to be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I work with him still. You know, I'm still working at Emeralds and running the company. But when I work with him now, I kind of step back, Lisa, and I just watch him sort of how he handles the staff, sort of how he's a very motivating he's a very motivating guy.
Yes.
What he does with his team, he's got somebody who's working on ingredients 50 miles or less from the restaurant.
Yeah.
He's sourcing all of these things out. It's just amazing to see him operate, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just about, I don't know, 4 years ago, seems like 4 or 5 years ago, I saw him, you know, performing in the band at Seaside School.
Right.
And like just to see like what he accomplishes.
Yeah, he's
in
an
such
amazing
a short
time. Musician too.
Yeah, he is a good musician.
He's really very
crazy.
Talented.
So what does it feel like for you? This is just a crazy question that I had asked you earlier too, like, you know, the guy who's known as Emeril, one name you're known all over the globe. You have such high, you know, celeb quotient yourself. What is it like for you to, can you ever find anywhere to go where like you can actually really escape so that people aren't?
Yeah, my boat.
Oh, yeah. Out in the deep blue sea.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about
just
it.
Me and Flipper.
That's about it. Okay. Well, good thing you have a good boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it has its good things and it has its bad things,
yeah.
You know? I
right.
mean, there are flattering moments. And
yes.
And then there are moments like, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm just trying to eat with my family here,
right.
You know?
So segueing on the whole boat thing. So let's segue right into Carnival Cruise lines and what you're doing with that, because that's fun.
Well, I've just been named January the Chief Culinary Officer for all of Carnival Cruise Lines.
That's crazy.
So
congratulations.
Thank you. Okay. So it started out to be, they asked me about 5 years ago if I would do a restaurant on one of their ships. So we created this Emeralds Bistro. It's sort of very New Orleans / French Quarter feel. Mm-hmm. The menu is very, very simple but solid.
Mm-hmm.
Poor boys, boudin, gumbo, a lot of cold seafood, shellfish, oysters, of course, barbecue shrimp, signature items. And I thought when we were doing this, I thought, oh boy, I'm not really good at this because as soon as I leave, then I'm paranoid about like how they're going to deliver my food. But I work with their team, and it was really refreshing to me because predominantly their culinary team are all from India. And so the way that it works is their top guys come to New Orleans, and my chefs and I, we train them for a week or two. Just the dishes that we're going to do on the ship. We do some cultural things to, so that they get a little feel of the culture of New Orleans and Louisiana, but we just kind of focus on the food. Then they go back, and then I go on the ship, and I go taste the food. And I was blown away the first time that I did this process because they were spot on. They're very passionate. Mm-hmm. They're very good culinarians. And, you know, sailing on a ship 3 months on, 1 month off is not for everybody. I can tell you that. Certainly not for me. I got to get off after about 3 days. I'm done. But it's fun. So, long story short, we're getting ready now to have our third bistro, three different ships. But in January, the president, who's a lovely lady, very smart, a brilliant lady, she said, I want you to be the chief culinary officer for the for all of Carnival Cruise
Lines. What is the fleet? How many is that?
A lot. So, as I said, I'm getting ready. We're getting ready. Alden and I, Merrill, Maggie, Jen. We're getting ready to go to Barcelona next week. Where they're building a new ship called Venezia, which is going to be three Italian ships that we bought, that Carnival bought. And so I just got done doing all the food for that ship. So we're going for that reason to check out the restaurants, to check out all the menu items. I've been working on it with their team and their director of food and beverage. Great people. But, you know, that's what it is. I'm just having fun. They come up with the menus, and then they send me the menus, photographs of the menus, descriptions of the menu items so that, you know, I can basically almost taste the food, right? Visually and, you know, just mentally. And then I say, you know, why are you doing an Indian pumpkin soup at sea? You know, why you're in the middle of the Gulf? Why are you using tilapia whatever, right? Bamundi. And so I make changes and fluff it, and then I work with them again. And we'll see what happens. It's so far so good. It's been a great experience.
So it's a celebrity too, the cruises, right? Too, and then who'd you say Shaq was also part of?
Well, Shaq is the chief fun officer. And he is a riot. He is absolutely a riot. They're really trying to add. Carnival is going through an amazing change. So I don't know what kind of reputation I had prior or before or whatever, but I know what they're trying to do, particularly with the president that's running things right now, Christine. She's really moving and shaking things around. And Carnival is going to new heights. Their entertainment, their facilities, their shopping, now their restaurants, their fun, you know, what Shaq brings as the fun, chief fun officer. Is all the things that are fun to do.
Sounds like definitely luxury up in the game.
Too. It's been a great experience. And the people have been just extraordinary.
That's amazing. So then you've got that going on, which is huge. Congratulations. So fun to be going there too next week. That's amazing. With your kids and Merrill's graduating
and
Alden.
I wish I could go. I wish EJ could come, but
He's running a restaurant.
He's got it right.
Oh my gosh, he's in the trenches. So on the heels of that, how many shows did you do for Roku? Like a fair amount. And you're going to do a second season too,
right?
Yeah,
I just did a second season. Yeah. I just finished actually last week.
Okay.
So I just got done doing 20 new tailgating shows and 21 new cooking shows.
Wow.
The interesting thing about Roku is that they bought the library for Emerald Live and Essence of Emerald. So now you basically have like an Emerald channel on Roku.
Okay.
You can actually stream and either see old Emerald Live shows or Essence of Emerald. You could see new Emerald Cook shows or Emerald tailgating shows.
Wow.
And we changed this season. We just changed. We shot in the Botanical Gardens at City Park, which is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful setting. So we'll see what happens. You know, I'm scheduled for one more season.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
But that's a lot, too. When you say you're not that busy, that's a lot.
Well, I used to do 90 Emerald Live shows a year.
90.
And 80 Essence of Emerald shows.
Oh, my God.
Back when. Yeah. So this is
Oh, this is like child's play.
Yeah. I mean, I do 2 shows a day. It's like...
Oh, okay. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But it's been fun.
Yeah. So how many restaurants do you have right now?
Well, we have 2 in New Orleans. We have Emeralds, the flagship, and Merrill, named after Merrill.
Mm-hmm.
2 in Las Vegas, Delmonico Steakhouse, which just celebrated its 24th year.
Okay.
And Emeralds Fish House in the MGM, which is 25 years old.
That's amazing.
And then here, Coastal.
Yeah.
So 5 restaurants. I have a licensing in the New Orleans airport called Emerald's Table.
Yeah.
And then Carnival Cruise Line that we just talked about.
So much.
So we're renovating Emerald's. We have a renovation scheduled next year for the Fish House in Vegas.
Yeah.
Not that it needs it.
Right.
The thing about Las Vegas is if you don't renovate every other few years, they think you're like stale because everything is so...
Yeah. Technicolor.
Everything is so, you know, bubbly and, so that's okay.
That's good.
So we're going to do that. And then EJ and I, he's going to be my partner. We're going to do a restaurant in New Orleans called 34, since I'm the 3rd and he's the 4th.
I love it.
And it's going to be a very hip Portuguese Spanish tapas bar.
Love it.
Not just a bar, restaurant.
Right. When will
the
that be?
The real deal.
When will that be open?
You know, it's been a slow process.
It's a year?
Yeah, I would say I'm hoping for the end of the year.
Yeah.
But it may be more like spring.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had the space for already a year. Mm-hmm. That's how slow the process is right now.
Yeah, well, things are slow.
In New Orleans.
To get built. Everything's like so slow right now. So with all of that you have going on, you also run a very successful foundation bearing your name, Emeril Lagasse Foundation, which is celebrating 21 years. Okay, 21.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, trying to win the Super Bowl, you have to have a great team. So I have Brian Kish, who's the president of the foundation, and about 9 other staff members who they do a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
We do 4 events, basically, which it's about 95-98% of the financial backing for the foundation comes from those events.
Carnival de Vin.
So it isn't like, you know, some guy writing a check for, you know, I wish, but
you're working.
We don't have that luxury yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Carnival de Vin, which is our big one.
In New Orleans.
Always in November.
Mm-hmm.
The night before Boudin and Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Line, Vine, and Dine, which is usually happens in January, February. Yeah. That happens in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
It's a mini fishing tournament slash fun weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks from Destin go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Chi-Chi Miguel, which is right here in our backyard, which is, you know, it turned out to be a backyard barbecue for winemakers.
Uh-huh.
Then I got involved several years ago, and then Mike and Val, who really started, Mike Thompson he's Chi-Chi, but he and his wife Val did it in their backyard for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and then it just became overwhelming for them. Right. So the foundation took it over. Now we have it. It's bigger, but not crazy in size.
Right.
We had this year about 400 people. And it's very successful.
Yeah, it's good.
Wherever we do events, 80% of the monies stay in that community. So like Chi-Chi, 80% of the monies stay here in the greater Destin area. Mm-hmm. Fort Lauderdale, we're partnered with Dan Marino and his foundation. Mm-hmm. 80% of the money stays in the Fort Lauderdale mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is the backbone, but it goes on. So we have a legacy program that's happening right now called Emeralds Teaching Gardens. Mm-hmm. It's basically a school, mm-hmm. cooking school / teaching garden. So we're teaching these kids where that comes from.
Right.
I mean, they don't understand that a green bean comes from a plant.
Right.
Grows in the soil.
Right, Wow. So tell me what your thoughts are on how the culinary scene has changed over the years. Can you believe how many people became sort of celebrity chefs after you? It turned into where food became celebrity minded.
Well, that's what they tell me, but I don't know. Well.
Know a lot of them.
Well, I know most of them, if not all of them.
Right. But,
everybody has a different approach or mm-hmm. a different angle. Mm-hmm. Like I said to you earlier, what I do is really from the heart and soul. Right. It's not
commercialized.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not doing it to be on the cover of the Rolling Stones magazine. Right. You know what I mean? It's just I'm doing it because it has meaning. These kids have meaning, which is why I have the foundation.
Right.
My restaurants have meaning because it's my heart and soul. It's my blood. Mm-hmm. Now EJ's involved. Merrill's graduating and mm-hmm. basically graduated and is off to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. So Alden's very happy. That's her alma mater. So,
mm-hmm. She'll love it. You'll be spending a lot of time at Ole Miss.
That's what they tell me.
You will be.
That's what they tell me.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Well, we have all these cookbooks behind you right here. Is there a new one in the works?
EJ and I are working on one right now for hopefully for the completion and in preparation for the 35th anniversary of Emeralds. So we're sort of doing this old and new sort of. He has half the book kind of new.
Uh-huh.
And I have half the book that's, I'm not going to say old because I'm not old.
Correct.
It's just, and it's certainly not dated or my food's not dated.
No.
It's just, but then again, what's his signature dish? One of his signature dishes right now is a dish that I did 34 years ago to put on the menu at Emeralds. It's a smoked salmon cheesecake.
Oh, yeah?
Except EJ's smoked totally refined it.
Oh.
And now has got, about that much layer of caviar on top of it.
Okay.
So we have our own label of caviar. Uh-huh. A sturgeon and uh-huh. some fun stuff that we're doing there. But, you got to have fun. I look around in your environment and it's like everybody's having fun.
Yeah, we got to have fun. You have to have fun when you work really hard and you have to have passion. Because 100%. Without passion, you can't do anything. I could never do anything without passion.
I agree with you. I can teach anybody how to cook if they have the passion of wanting to want to learn how to cook.
Want it really bad.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, this is a crazy left field question for you. What do you think of Martha Stewart being on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Did you see that?
I did. I know your friends.
Oh, I know.
So this is the greatest guy to ask this question.
Well, listen, if that's what you want to do at 81 years old, knock your lights out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, whatever Martha does, she
does it.
She does it, as well as anybody else is going to do it.
Right.
She really did it. I mean, she tried all, she's talking about all these outfits that she had to put on and all this,
I bet she had a ball.
I'm sure she did. I guarantee she did. Yeah. There are other pictures that maybe the average person hasn't seen.
Oh, outtakes.
Yeah, there's some outtakes.
You saw them?
Well, I guess they're going to make a special out of it or something, right? Isn't that what they do, right? They make it.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's a special.
Oh.
I can't wait to see it,
actually. Special edition. Oh, my God. Well, she does look damn good. I'll tell you that.
I mean, at 81 years old.
Yeah, looking good.
Come on.
Totally. That's right. My goodness. So,
thing is what's next?
I don't know.
Swimsuit. I don't know.
I mean, it's breaking some boundaries for
breaking
sure.
Breaking
news for sure. So, what else can we talk about? You traveling, you know, you've got your travel coming up. And
I like EJ, you know, as I was telling you, for many, many, many years, I was, you know, I was in the box and I couldn't really do anything or really have a lot of family time or travel time, et cetera, other than when I was traveling for work or events. And now, you know, Alden and I are trying to, the last couple of years, we're trying to get out a little bit more and try to do some things, you know.
So
we love London.
Yeah. I love London.
Looking for, London's really exciting right now. I really love Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
I love Portugal in general.
Mm-hmm.
I love Porto and, you know, the south and, you know, who doesn't like Italy?
Right.
You know, I like Spain. I'm going to go back to Spain in a few weeks after this trip.
Yeah.
That's where Meryl wants to go on a senior trip.
I love it.
So we're going to Madrid and then she wants to go to Ibiza.
Oh.
So have you been to Ibiza?
No, I have not.
It's pretty wild.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I have not been.
Yeah, it's...
Let me know how it is. Have you been?
Yeah.
Oh, you've already been. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been on the wild side.
Okay. You going on the wild side this time?
Well,
maybe.
I'm probably going to have to at least once.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I also would be remiss if I don't thank you for actually doing that great thing you did for us where you were the chef and your team at the show home.
That was a lot of fun.
Okay, thanks for doing that.
That
I appreciate
was a lot of fun.
It because you really made it like just something over the top. And Julian Lennon, you know, was our celeb and you are our celeb too. And Julian was really looking forward to meeting you. And I think, you know, you guys had met that night.
I thought it was a magical night. I really did.
It was so different.
I thought you had a really great crowd.
Yeah.
Probably most people you knew by name.
Yeah.
I knew probably half of
you
them
did.
By name.
Easy, Lee.
The house, the setting of the house was beautiful.
Yeah.
The second floor being, you know, the spotlight where the kitchen was and that outdoor space.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really magical night. The only thing that you and I couldn't control was the weather.
Yeah, but it was good.
Do you remember? It got kind of hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it cooled down as the evening progressed, but it was hot there for a little while.
There were so many people.
Well, that too.
All the people were taking up the air and the oxygen.
Well, that's what you wanted to do.
but you want a party that has too many people at it. I mean, no matter what someone tells me, that's what you want for a party.
Right.
And so this is a funny joke that I had told you earlier, you know, like a part of my like understanding of like your stardom, your starlight, in that Julian, you know, all these, he said he was with Emeril at this party and he posted on his social marketing. And he gets like 20,000 comments like the first 24 hours after the party. And I'm reading them all. And 90% of them are, you got to meet Emeril? Oh, my God. What was he like? Oh, what did he cook? And I'm like, wow. These people are from Germany, London. And like Emeril's at our party here in Santa Rosa Beach and Seagrove. And it was just like...
So
it's like
what
pretty
are you
big.
Doing another one of those?
Oh, good Lord. Not for a long time.
Really?
Well, I do a party, but not do a show home for a while.
Yeah.
It still takes a lot out of you. It's a 2-year commitment. And I had just come off
the
2 years before, like where you're going through the whole thing and marketing it. I'll do a party, though.
Yeah.
But a fundraiser or something like that, or a party that I think would be super fun. And you could tell that people were starved for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you don't have to do that. But if you felt like it. You know, there's a market out there
right.
for it. That whole intimate thing. The more intimate people can get.
So I've seen V Magazine. Obviously, I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
But I've really have seen it evolve tremendous. What's going on?
Well, it's.
I mean, it's obviously planned, and you know, it just doesn't happen to happen. But I really feel like the magazine is. It's getting a little thicker because it's getting a lot better. It's really, really interesting.
Thank you. It's
what
15
you guys are doing.
Years.
Well, you have a great team.
I do have a great team. They are all fantastic. And we are running, you know, like a team. I'm the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
So do you guys brainstorm about
issue.
Great.
It's 12 times a year.
I'm just trying to understand the process.
Well, you had a magazine.
I find it fascinating. I don't have a magazine.
Well, you did.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't have a magazine.
Martha had a magazine.
Oh, Martha had a magazine.
Was a part
of it. Okay. Well, Yes. I mean, we brainstorm every, we have our men's issue coming out in a week and a half.
So how do you decide that? The, just the team?
Oh, yeah. Based, you know,
on
what's funny?
Based on the calendar?
No, just based on, it's all organic. It's all like our, no one's telling us what to do here.
Right.
We are literally creating it ourselves and always have been. It's, we've had people on the cover.
This cover is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
This is the current issue, right?
This is it. And you're in this issue. So this is the article that you're in for your 20.
Well, I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, the cookies are cool. So,
like, it's not people.
No.
So it's,
I know, but it had to be cakes. Gorgeous.
It's cookies.
It's cookies.
Cookies.
Yeah. I saw this on Instagram. It was a girl that did organic cookies. And I'm like, that's so cool. And then we feature her. She's in LA, right? Hmm. So we have, the world changed so much since like what we used to know magazines to be. When you have like unbelievable photographs at your fingertips, you have social media and you can communicate to the entire world, right? The magazine business, and I don't think a lot of people understand this, even in the magazine business, changed a lot because you could do so much more in the last 7 to 8 years than you could do before because the world opened up. So the person in London or Ireland, you know, they're following us. We have writers all around the globe.
Yeah, and they're interested about what's happening in other places, not just...
They are, but we're writing about all places too, you know? So
is food very popular?
It is popular, and so are homes.
And homes.
Homes are very popular, but then like...
Like interior of homes.
Interior, exterior, anything. But that happened. That was a anomaly, I think, that happened. Everyone loved homes, veranda, homes and garden and all that kind of stuff. But when the pandemic happened and everyone like had to stay in their house and they fell in love with their house, the home became a celebrity.
Yeah.
And so we featured a lot of homes during the pandemic. But then, you know, you can tell when the pendulum is swinging and it gets played out. We've had people on
kitchens are still popular, though.
Oh, kitchens. Yeah. Well, then we have our book called Cook by V that's coming out that you and EJ are in and your story's in that. And that comes out in about a month. And then what the magazine business did is it got us into the book publishing business. It was just like kind of this organic progression toward that. So we just finished a coffee table book for the Seaside Style. That's going to be out in a week. We have a novel that we've just published, and then we're publishing Cook and, you know, on and on and on. So, but all of this that you're seeing is like we did it our way. You know, the way,
well, that's
like
the way,
old-fashioned.
That's the way it should be.
There's no backing. Had to figure out like how to always hustle, how to always stay in business. But we're outliers. You know, we're not doing, but then we're in, you know, airports and LaGuardia and New York and Chicago and all that.
Is it mostly mailing list?
It's mailing and it's also, you know, distribution throughout the country and
like
all that
you said,
too.
In airports,
like key targeted airports or airports that we want to gain, like, you know, some traction and emerging feeder markets. It's all been an evolving process over time.
Great.
But we did just win top 50 best luxury magazines in the world a month ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
And here we are. In
well,
Santa Rosa
it's,
Beach.
It's really,
right?
it's really fabulous.
Oh,
so
thank
keep
you.
Doing
I so
doing.
I appreciate that a lot.
15 Means, more years. Would be
oh
great.
God, no! Please tell me no. I don't think I could do that. 15 more years? No, because time is going so fast.
Yeah, it is.
It just clips
amazing.
Along, especially when you start getting older. It does fly.
Well, you know, and then you start talking about friends and family and birthdays and et cetera, and then you realize how fast really time is like going. Like, I can't believe like Meryl's going to college, you know? It's amazing. His EJ, you know.
Yeah, EJ, ruling the world at 19. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Crazy.
Well, congratulations to you, your family, and everything.
Thank you.
I think you're in like a great next chapter where you're just doing it your way and like, you know, all of
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, that's basically, I'm not doing anything that I don't really want to do.
Right.
There's a lot more that I could do but don't want to do.
Right.
And like I said, I'm doing it because it means something. It has meaning and has, you know, heart and soul and, you know, or spiritual things.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah.
So we're going to, you know, we're going to keep going on.
Right. Well, this podcast is Conversations with Heart and Soul, so I'm with you.
I love it.
All the way.
I love it.
Emerald, thank you for being here. I know your time is more precious than anything. I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great seeing you and your team, by the way.
Thank you so much. Everybody, thank you so much. Emerald in the house. We're so happy. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to our sponsors, Rose & Company. Owners David and Carrie DiGregorio have just hit it out of the park with the most gorgeous boutique in Grand Boulevard. They are the purveyors of the most unique and gorgeous, hard-to-find flowers and curate the most unique species of roses and flowers. And there's a lot of artistry involved in it. If you have a special occasion and you want to show somebody how much you love them, you've got to get your floral arrangements from them. And they trick out our studio and make it look beautiful every single time we have our podcast. And they have unique bespoke items, and they also carry Versace china, which is just adorable. Like, who doesn't need that, right? And so if you want to visit them, go to Grand Boulevard, or if you want to order flowers online, go to their website, roseandcompanyflowers.com.
So do you guys like instantly just fly?